don't hear about.
Azmi Bader is one of the founders of the Palestinian Jewish Partnership and says the membership is not deterred by the threat of prison time and will continue to enter the occupied West Bank and Gaza. In the last year, the organization has increased from 75 to 400 people.
For us, it's very successful. It's not just the money and the medical machine that we are praying for with us. It's the solidarity from the people in Israel, meaning the Jewish people, the Arab people, the Palestinian people that live in Israel. For us, it's to linkage between the two people that there's a next way we can resist the occupation. It's not the way, the violence way.
As the Israelis boarded their buses to leave Salfit, 9-year-old Saba yelled into the microphone. He says, peace with the Jews. At a roadblock, the Israeli military stopped the 7 buses exiting Salfit. As the soldiers conducted a head count and searched each bus for explosives, they singled out the 5 Palestinians in the group, 100 Israelis to protest. At this, they were returned to their seats and each bus allowed to pass. There were no arrests. For Free Speech Radio News in the West Bank town of Salfit, I'm Kata Mester.
And this is radio station WBAI in New York, where it's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Only live on for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood.
And very good evening to everybody. This very special edition of the program, because we have about 5 million people in the studio on this, the show before H2K2, which is our, it's not an annual conference. It's not a biannual conference. It's a conference we do every now and then. In fact, we've never done H2K2 before. We've done we've done Hope. We've done Beyond Hope. We've done H2K. And now we've done, we're doing H2K2. So let's just go around the room and see who's here. Cheshire Catalyst, is that you I see over there?
Yes, it is.
Wow, how about that? So you made it all the way up here.
Yep.
Excellent. You have the same shirt I have. I don't have it right now.
But yes, it's got an old Bell System logo on it and the word freak across it.
Spelled with a PH.
With a PH, of course.
You know what that means.
So evil, yes.
Maybe you could sort of give us a little timeline here, because you were at the First Hope. You were one of the key players of the First Hope.
Well, I don't know about that, but I was a player at the First Hope.
I remember you being one of the people that salvaged that registration disaster that we had. Where basically, we had a registration machine. We thought we'd be really slick and print everybody's pictures.
Right.
Except we didn't know it took 2 minutes to print every picture, and at noon on Saturday, we had something like 500
people. A
very
long line, yes.
Waiting for their IDs. Very patiently, too.
Well, I had worked registration at other types of conventions, so I knew what should have been the drill. I just instituted it.
Yeah. Well, it worked. It definitely did. And I think Rob, wherever he is, what happened to Rob?
Over here.
Oh, okay. Rob didn't get a microphone.
Yeah, I remember he was walking around. He implemented a kind of a system of an honor system, I think it was, that we had to do. Just
more or less. By the way, there's one thing I'd like to interject at this point. Hope stood for, and still stands for, Hackers on Planet Earth.
That's right. That's right. Hackers on Planet Earth.
I've got this thing about explaining acronyms to people who may not have caught them before.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. And I remember the day I was. Where's Ben? Is Ben around here?
He's way over there.
Ben's over there. I was driving in the car with Ben back in 1994, 1993. I remember
94.
Screeching to a halt at an intersection and saying, "I got it," you know, because we were trying to think what would we call these conferences. We need a good name, you know, and we couldn't think of a name. And I just remember, you know, I remember the intersection still where that happened.
We were sitting at a traffic light or something, and we were going Galactic Hacker Party, Hackers in Outer Space. Well, why don't we have Hackers on Planet Earth? And then the name was born.
As I recall, we weren't even discussing it at the time. I was just driving, and all of a sudden, I just hit the brakes and said, "Wow, I got it!" Because I knew that was it. You know, it was.
Someday we'll put a plaque at that intersection.
Yeah. Well, there already is a plaque there, but not for that.
Right.
But, never mind. Yes. So who else? Let's see, we got some of the regular. Barry.
Hi there.
The key, as they call you over in Holland.
Yes, that's my.
You'll be doing the lock picking workshop once again, I believe.
Yeah, I had a lot of response on the previous one I did at H2K,
And yeah, I decided to come back, even though it was a little bit frightening,
mm-hmm.
with the security at the airports a little bit more hyped up.
Uh-huh. Did you have any incidents coming in?
No, I didn't, but I understood that there was somebody trying to smuggle a gun into the plane to New York a day before I left.
I heard about that in Amsterdam. Someone actually smuggling a gun from Amsterdam. It doesn't usually work in that direction.
Unless you want to hijack a plane.
Uh-huh. Wow. So someone actually trying to smuggle the gun. I mean, how can you even do that in airports? It's very difficult.
Well, the story now is that the gun was planted, that she was not aware of having the gun with her.
Wow, one of those practical jokes.
It's a weird sense of humor. But anyway, I decided to send all my lockpick tools with FedEx to the States and not carry them in my hand luggage as I did before.
And that's where we learned that FedEx doesn't ship to P.O. boxes.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a bit of an adventure with FedEx. Actually, we had several adventures with FedEx. And Bernie S. had a real monumental adventure with them. He's not here, though. We should maybe call him on the phone. Yeah. Why don't we do that? I think he's driving up in his car. He might even be in listening range now. So we'll try to reach him. Who else is around that wants to come up to the microphone? Porkchop, you've been running around like crazy in the city.
Good afternoon. Yes, I've been around since, I guess, Monday. Uh-huh. I've been running around doing all sorts of things.
Oh, is the phone going to beep like that again? I'm just not going to use the phone if it's going to do that. Last week it was beeping the whole show. All right. If it's good, I'll use it. Go ahead. Continue.
I'm about done.
Uh-huh.
I could add, though, that all the security running around, it was, Bush was here yesterday.
Yeah, he was.
And I think that might be what caused, did you run into any problems downstairs?
Downstairs?
Yeah, downstairs.
Other than the usual signing into this building hassle?
Yeah, there was a lot more of a problem down there when I was there, but anyway.
Really?
There was a big shouting match right as we were walking in. There was a giant shouting match between one guy who comes in here apparently every day.
Yeah.
And the security guard just didn't, you have to show your ID.
I find it amazing how the building here tells us we can come into our own radio station, but that's apparently, I don't know who is behind it all. I don't know how they work things around here, but it just seems to me that the people, you know, letting us in should be letting us in, not giving us, you know, all kinds of hassles. But just the way it is. You know, I see the same person every time I come in here, yet I have to show my ID every time. If there's somebody walking around that's a clone of me, I want to meet him, you know, just for a second and see, you know, that how good it is. But it's weird that, you know these people. You say hi to them. They know, you know, personal things about you, yet they still won't let you buy unless you show an ID. Unbelievable.
It was very difficult.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if we can get Bernie on the phone. While I'm trying to do that, anybody else care to come up who has not spoken yet? Anybody? Nobody? Okay. Well, there's lots of people here, so people want to imagine.
People.
You know, Jello is supposed to be here. Jello Biafra is in town. If anybody knows where Jello is, please send him this way, because he's supposed to. He was at a digital music conference in New York a couple days ago, and that's what allowed him to stay over and actually speak at our conference, which is part of the...
Hello?
Changes. Bernie, you're on the radio. I'm required by federal law to tell you that.
Uh-oh.
So do we have your consent?
We wouldn't want to break any federal laws now, would we?
No, not right away, anyway.
Not this close to the conference,
yeah.
Anyway.
You consent to being on the air?
I do.
Okay, good. Where are you now?
Only for no longer than, sir, 3 minutes and 27 seconds.
Okay. All right, that's 3 minutes.
If you're 28, then you violated the law.
Okay, somebody keep the timer going. So, Bernie, we were talking about things, you know, craziness happening in front of the conference, dealing with FedEx, things like that. You had a real monumental occasion, didn't you?
Oh, what an adventure! Oh, this is like one of several that everybody had gone through planning this thing. But this particular one is the ID badges, or you call them the what would you call these badges? The conference badges, where people have to.
The things you wear around your neck if you expect to walk through the doors, and they really look cool from what I hear.
Oh, these are by far the most cool Hope badges you've ever had. You may recall the last ones from 2 years ago had holograms and mag stripes and barcodes and all that kind of stuff. Well, these will really wow people if those wow people.
Now Cheshire's wearing his right now.
Hey, man after my own heart.
Got
one of my wallet too.
Did that get you in the door?
No, the one on the other side got me in the door.
Okay. Okay, so basically we had these other badges made.
I assume. Okay.
I was going to print it myself like we did last time, mm-hmm. 2 years ago, but the cost for the dye sublimation films was just really pricey to print several thousand badges, so we figured we could save a few grand by farming it out. Well, big mistake. Actually, not exactly, but things will all work out. But what happened is we spent weeks, if you recall, in a design group hashing out designs, getting things just right. So these are two-sided, by the way. Color, four color on both sides. And we finally agreed upon a design, and our artist, Ed in Seattle, put something very beautiful together.
Mm-hmm.
And I presented it to the folks who will do the initial printing, and they're like, nope, won't work. Actually, first they said it would work, and then a few weeks years later, I wasn't getting phone calls back from the woman I was dealing with. Turns out she'd been laid off or was fired. This set us back a couple of weeks. The woman is not returning my calls. She didn't work there anymore, but her voicemail box is still on, and it left all these messages.
Well, Bernie, I realize this is a big saga, but we're only interested in the delivery aspect of it.
Anyway. Finally got a hold of her. We had a hold of somebody else there. We had to change the design to move to place this chip that has to be milled and embedded in the card. I found the company that would print them, and they fell down on their commitment to ship them on last Friday, mm-hmm. to the company who was going to mill and embed the cards so that the chips could be implanted in them. These are chip implants, of course.
Right.
And they didn't send them Friday like they were supposed to, so we're back. We're two more days behind. And then Monday they shipped them out this week, and it turns out the woman at that company, their handwriting was so bad, everybody thought she was writing a 6 when she was writing a 5. So all these thousands of badges got sent somewhere in South Chicago and ended up getting lost in the wrong zip code in a FedEx van.
Uh-huh.
So I talked to a FedEx supervisor, and we were able to track down which van it was in, and then talked to a dispatcher who talked to the driver, and I said, listen, just tell them to drop it off at the nearest FedEx location and tell the people to sit on them there, and I got the number for that office. So I got somebody at that FedEx office just to sit on the badge and said, listen, I'll find somebody to pick them up. This is like an hour away from where they had to go in Downers Grove, Illinois, if anybody remembers. That's where the Martians landed in 1934.
Ah, yes.
So, anyhow, I found a quick courier on the Internet that could go pick these things up and drive them to Downers Grove, Illinois. And, of course, they got lost, and I had to talk to their dispatcher and read off directions off of MapQuest and the Internet live to this other dispatcher who was giving this guy directions over the radio. And we had to get these by 5:15 to the company who can mill and bed these chips.
5:15, okay.
5:15. And through dictating these directions from MapQuest.
Yeah, Bernie, that's Central Time, right? Isn't that?
This was Central Time,
so it's actually,
had
until 6:15.
Illinois time.
Right.
But 5:15 their time I had to get there by. So it turns out that the courier shows up with these badges at 5:13 in the afternoon, 2 minutes before the deadline to get them there, so that we would have these badges in time for the conference. So, I got a call this morning. They worked on them all night. They embedded all the chips, and they look great, and they're en route by FedEx, hopefully to the right zip code tomorrow.
Well, you know,
we'll get them tomorrow.
I had a bit of an adventure myself with FedEx that wasn't nearly as complicated. Basically, I dropped off a package that had to get out to the West Coast that involved getting one of our keynotes here. Mm-hmm. I thought dropping it off was enough, but apparently what happened was they tried to actually bill it to our FedEx number. The credit card has gotten maxed out because of all the things that we've been buying lately, and when FedEx tried to bill, the credit card rejected it, and then FedEx said, "Oh well, we can't deliver this package." So if I hadn't checked on the web to see the tracking status of everything I had sent out, I wouldn't have noticed that this one was just sitting in the same office in New York City 2 days later, and they had sent me a postcard in the mail saying that my package was sitting there. Isn't that nice that they send you a postcard in the mail, not even FedEx? And basically what I had to do was give them another credit card and you know, promise that it wouldn't happen again before they would actually send it out. But literally it was like a 3-day delay because of that.
These banks are really cracking down on what they think are suspicious transactions, which in fact were legitimate transactions. I had my bank mailed me a letter saying that, well, we had to cancel your card because your Visa card, because we noticed what we thought were suspicious transactions on your account. They didn't call me.
Uh-huh.
They sent me a letter in the mail. So
right.
A bunch of stuff I'd ordered for the conference had to have it sent FedEx because I had ordered a grand before and it was delayed because of this bank nonsense. And I called, it's like, you know, you had a transaction of $4,000 just a couple of days before, and you called me about that, and I said it was okay, and I'd be making other large ones. Well, the ones they canceled the card over were $25 and $14 respectively. The biggest transaction. So I talked to like a high level supervisor at my bank, and he said, since September 11th, we've really been cracking down on anything that looks remotely suspicious.
Yeah, because terrorists use credit cards all the time.
That's absolutely. Sure, yeah. And they have them sent to their home address and all that, you know?
Unbelievable. Well, I don't know if I mentioned this on the air a couple of weeks ago, but I saw a sign in a bodega that said, as of September 11th, we no longer accept post-dated checks, as if there's some kind of relationship between post-dated checks and terrorist actions.
I'm seeing excuses all over the place with 9/11 being used as the justification. Things that have nothing, like you said, have nothing to do with anything.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of nothing to do with anything, I want to make one correction. While there may be Martians in Downers Grove, Illinois, the Martians landed in Downers Grove, New Jersey.
Oh.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
I think he's right about that. I do recall New Jersey.
Right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. It's a wrong Downers Grove.
The wrong one. Are we sure the badges got made by the right people now?
You have proof that Martians did not land in Downers Grove, Illinois.
Yeah, we can't be certain of that. So it may have been Martians, but the Martians you referred to earlier were in Downers Grove, New Jersey.
Well, you know, if they came in 1934, I think they would probably 39. Have gone to both Downers Groves.
It was 39.
Maybe
they
got lost. Maybe one of the.
All right, I think we've exhausted this subject here. So let's move on. Otter Jack, what's up with you?
I'm here. I'm very excited about the conference.
Ready for the big show on Saturday? You're performing.
Yes, I'm absolutely very excited about that.
That's pretty cool.
I'm not ready, but I'm excited.
None of us are ready. None of us. Right. We just want it to, you know, happen.
We should talk to my friend.
Uh-huh.
My friend Trash 80 over here.
Trash 80?
Yeah.
Oh, Trash 80, get you a microphone.
Yeah, get over a microphone.
Anyone will do. That one's fine. Okay, Trash 80, tell us about yourself.
My name's Tim Trash 80.
Ah.
From Seattle. So.
You're performing at H2K2 as well, right?
Yeah, performing Friday night, Thursday morning, whatever you want to call it.
Friday, yeah, probably Friday night would be better. Now, you work entirely with Game Boys, is that it?
Yeah, I work on a project that uses the sound chip in the Game Boy to create music using custom cartridges, custom software, and the Flash ROM cartridges. So
wow, that's pretty cool. Back. So
yeah, it's fun stuff. So,
do you have a CD or anything with you? Do you?
No, I don't have a CD.
Okay, well, I'd like to hear that. I'd like to play it on the air. Maybe we can do that next week.
Yeah.
But can you actually program your own tones?
Yeah, it's a guy in I think he's in Berlin, Germany, made the software that I use. So
am I
it's
very
like,
devious to
the
say
sound,
that
the sound chip hardware is like four synths basically, and you have full control over them.
Uh-huh.
So but it's not like preset stuff. Yeah. You know?
No, but I know some tones that might be fun to generate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the frequency range offhand is, but you can technically probably do, yeah, actually.
The tones he's looking for are within
there,
the audio
range.
There's
a little freaking toy that's available for the Game Boy.
Are you talking about Redbox tones?
Conspire about this off air.
I did not use that.
Yeah,
word.
And actually, there's software that someone made for it. So
But do you think you could make something that erases the ROM if you
get caught?
If you want to. that it loses its memory? Or
I guess you probably could just smash it.
Okay, that's a low-tech solution, but...
effective.
We'll be looking forward to that musical piece as well. And the schedule for both the music and the panels is up on www.h2k2.net. We have something on the order of 70-plus panels. That's scheduled. We have a whole fleet of unscheduled panels that will be taking place in the third track. And we also have a film room, which we've been busy assembling over the past few days. Things like, we showed some of this at the first Hope Conference. Ma Bell's Delinquent Children. You ever hear about that one, Cheshire?
No.
That's a great film.
Yeah.
It's all. You know about this, Jim?
Yeah. It was rather entertaining.
Yeah. It's about 10 minutes long, but it's really educational. It's about phone freaks from the, I guess, early 70s.
Delinquent children, you said?
Yeah.
It does sound interesting.
There was one phone company. They all had rotary dials back then. There's a spokesman from the phone company that is telling everybody how evil this is. It's really well done.
If you like retro educational films but want one on a topic that you're really interested in, this is the one to see.
That's right. That's right. And we have a whole bunch of hacker documentaries of various sorts, including premiere of the new one called Owned, as well as Freedom Downtime, which we'll be showing on Saturday night. So all this will be happening. The film schedule is going to be posted on site. So basically when you're there, you'll see all kinds of updates because we're still getting material and we have to sort of figure out ways to schedule it.
Can we run by a Blockbuster and pick up a copy of Horse Feathers?
Oh.
All I want to show is the one section of Groucho and Chico doing the password routine.
Okay.
Because John Travolta talked about all sorts of movies in the movie Swordfish, but never explained where the word swordfish came from.
Oh, really?
It came from the Marx Brothers routine in Horse Feathers.
That's something. I didn't know that. I think you should maybe give a little lecture about this and show that.
It's been on my website ever since the movie.
I'll bet in the script they did explain it, but it got cut for some reason.
Probably.
You know, they always do that.
And it may be because they just couldn't get the rights to use the routine.
So tell us something about the routine. It's basically...
Oh, basically, Chico is in a speakeasy and takes over the door. And the password to get in the door is swordfish.
Okay.
Groucho knocks on the door and wants to come in. And there's banter back and forth. Eventually, Chico gives up and says, "Hey, I can no let you in unless you say swordfish. Now I give you one more chance." And that's why the Cartoonists Association of America have passed a resolution. Anytime a password is required in a comic strip, you will find that that password is swordfish.
Wow. You know, it's too bad the comic book show isn't still on after us because I'm sure he'd have a few things to say about that. Hopefully that show will be back on soon. Anyone else want to say something that hasn't? Yeah, Porkchop, go ahead.
While we were talking about documentaries that were being or films that were being shown after Freedom Downtime, we will have a panel about that, won't we?
Yes, we're going to have a question and answer and some of the facts about Freedom Downtime that you may not know about.
Some interesting stuff.
Yeah, some gossip and some you know, some scandalous things as well. So yeah, it's all there after the Freedom Downtime.
Got to come up with something to put on the commentary track.
That's right. That's right. We're working on the DVD. we're going to work on it after the conference. One thing
at
a time.
Yeah, we're not working on it yet.
I think I see our network guy out there, and if he is out there, I'm directing him to come in here so he can tell us about the H2K2 network, which is being assembled at this very moment and will be used for all kinds of fun and games at the conference. And that's not him. There he is, right out there. He's right out there. Come in here. Yeah, you. That's it. It's Adam. Have a microphone. Tell us something about the H2K2 network that is being assembled even as we speak.
I hate being put on the spot like this, but well, we have a team one this year. We didn't really get any more extra bandwidth, but it's going to be fun wiring the place up since we have both the second floor and the 18th floor to deal with. I think we're going to have plenty of wireless gear, so if you happen to have an 802.11b card, definitely bring it because then you won't have to worry about wiring in. But there will be plenty of wiring, plenty of port space available if you have an Ethernet jack. It's going to be mostly, mostly 10 megabit, some 11, 100 megabit, because we have, Rody's bringing his two switches, so.
Rody's listening to us right now. You know, he's driving up, I think, the New Jersey Turnpike in a big U-Haul, and he wanted to be here at the show, but he said he wanted to tune in and, give a big honk for us, Rody, on the road.
Hello, Rody. Yeah, he's his equipment's going to be the core of the network. We have a gigabit uplink between the two, second and the 18th floor, so we have plenty of bandwidth to get the streams down to the second floor if people can't fit into any one of the Skytop or Pentop or anything like that. They can probably pull down, watch a stream from the public terminal cluster or from the laptop. We can have some internal decoders for you to watch the streams on. Or if you're on the internet, actually, you can check the website. It'll be updated probably tomorrow with links to the external stream sources. So
okay.
Definitely if you plan on bringing any gear and you want to actually use it there, make sure that if you can bring a hub, that would be great. And definitely bring a power strip because I'm sure that's probably going to be the scarcest port there is at the con. I think I've said, you know, just about everything. Definitely want to give a hand to Rody and to Mike, Mark, and Doug for putting together an amazing public terminal cluster. I think they could bring 100 nodes on their own, and they have like 200 switch ports available for both the public terminal cluster and for people who bring their, you know, their own equipment. So that's about it.
We were talking just a second ago about Rody riding up with a U-Haul. I actually found a cop on the side of the street, and I asked her about the parking on the side of the street. And so, Rody, if the U-Haul has commercial plates, you can. If it doesn't, you can't.
Right, well, he comes from a state that doesn't have commercial plates. That's the problem.
I asked about that, too. Uh-huh. And apparently, every state has some sort of appartitioned...
Yeah,
apportioned.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. All right, apportioned plates. I don't anyway. Know what that means, but so if he doesn't have those ones.
If he doesn't have those, then he can't legally park, but.
Okay. I have some, though. Can we just put those on instead?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think
what,
it works
that way. That's not legal either? All right, fine. I just figured I'd make them happy, you know?
We won't tell anybody.
One other public service announcement, actually.
We'll just take the plates off altogether, then what are they going to do? You know?
If you're in the area of. Hotel Pennsylvania, and you have a wireless access point, and it's not secured. This is a good time to either A, unplug it, or B, secure it. Because I found for actually, we were going around earlier today, just with a really cheap network sniffer, just seeing what was out there, and I think it was 14 that I could see from the. I went out with a RenderMan from.
He's here.
He's here. Yeah, actually, he's over there.
Over there, what, over, inside the wall? What?
On the other side of the wall.
Oh, okay, all right.
On the outside.
Oh, well.
How many people are out there?
Area. Yeah, well, are they afraid to come in here? It's not that bad.
Yeah,
you know?
We were. We opened the door, and it was really packed.
anyway, we went around and took a look. I think there were 14, is the number that's coming up to mind, of unencrypted, unsecured access points. That's just what we found with NetStumbler, which is... not the greatest of network sniffers for those who...
Well, there's going to be a lot more specific information available.
As a matter of fact, there will be an 802.11 panel, and the creator of Kismet, the wireless network sniffer, the better of the group, I believe, will be presenting at H2K2, telling us all what to do, how to secure points, what 802.11 is, and why one type of a sniffer is better than another, one type of a... exploring utility, I should guess we could say, is better than the other.
And is this RenderMan here?
RenderMan just came in.
Hey.
Do you happen to remember how many access points we found unsecured?
I think it's somewhere in the range of 45.
45 unsecured. That was just at the top, what we found from the top of the...
Well, those 45 building. Total, I'd say about a dozen or so that were unencrypted.
Okay, a dozen or so that were unencrypted. That's just what we found with a fairly... low-end, what was it? What was the name of the program that you used?
NetStumbler.
So for those who don't know, basically what this means is you can turn on your laptop and be connected to these networks that are completely unencrypted and allow you access to the Internet.
That's
correct?
Right, or anything else. I found actually a Verizon DSL line yesterday, which I didn't really explore very much. Actually, really not at all. But I found the network just by turning on my computer, and it automatically joined that network just because it's programmed to join whatever network it can see strongest. It just joined it, and all of a sudden I realized, oh, boy, I'm on someone else's Internet.
Well, some people actually want you to do that, but most people I don't think are aware that their networks are being used pretty much as public access
there
points.
There is a great website called nycwireless.org.
Yes.
And they have a whole bunch of access points that were created by just random people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go in range of any of these and use their internet access for free. It's just all you have to do is pull up with your laptop or whatever you want to do.
Uh-huh. And basically, I know a lot of people are hooking their cable modems up and offering that as free access. And I think Time Warner is very angry at people for doing this, for offering free access to the Internet instead of forcing them to go through
them.
The
specific deal with Time Warner is they were planning on doing this themselves.
Yeah.
And now they can still do it, but they have to compete with the people who are doing it for free.
It's hard to compete when you have to make a lot of money. You'll see a lot about that. What time is that panel? That's on Friday, I believe?
That's on Friday. I think I seem to remember at 5 p.m.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. Again, the schedule is up at www.h2k2.net by day. We have two tracks running from around 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. And we have a third track of unscheduled speakers, which will probably be full as well. That will be scheduled at the conference itself. We also have a full lineup of films and documentaries and all kinds of other fun things. That's all just going on upstairs. Downstairs, of course, is the huge network with all kinds of other fun displays and events. Chris is here. Chris, our AV person, who has been tearing his hair out all day long worrying about AV nightmares and scenarios and things like that. Chris, how is it going? Any new crises to report on?
Things are finally starting to work out. We had a couple of big crises that were happening this morning. We've worked most of it out, and we have the first two trucks of AV equipment already loaded up and
great.
Be there at 8 in the morning.
Excellent. And for those people who want to get there early, registration begins tomorrow at noon. Thursday at noon, you can go to the Hotel Pennsylvania right between 32nd and 33rd Street, across the street from Penn Station, and go up to the door right there, the revolving door right there on 7th Avenue, and you can register for the conference. Now, the conference itself doesn't open until 10 a.m. On Friday. Actually, that's when the panels begin. The conference, I think, will open up a little bit before then, probably around 8 or so. And people are welcome to help us out if they have equipment they want to bring, if they want to volunteer some services and things like that. We're going to spend all day tomorrow setting up, so your help is definitely most welcome.
The revolving doors people are looking for, by the way, are actually next to the entrance labeled Hotel Pennsylvania, and it says Penn Pavilion above it.
Yeah, and you'll probably see a big H2K2 banner. Actually, Bernie, are you still there?
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. I totally forgot about you. You probably can tell us about the H2K2 banner that is coming.
Actually, I've been listening to the show in my car in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
If you can figure that out. But anyway, yes, I just picked up about an hour ago some tremendous H2K2 banners. These things are massive, and they really look fantastic. I don't think I've ever seen as cool a looking banner in my life.
Anywhere, or just at our conferences?
Anywhere, right?
I mean, you know, there's lots of cool banners out there.
Well, I got excited when I saw this thing all laid out over the floor.
Wow.
Rolling it up. You got to see it. You got to come. You got to see this.
It's worth the admission price just to see the banner.
Absolutely.
All right. That's pretty good.
But
there's some special smaller banners we have, too. Courtesy of the National Security Agency.
Oh, you know, maybe we shouldn't talk about those because they might yet try to stop us.
They're copyrighted, I understand.
Yeah, well, let's basically have people be surprised by that. Otherwise, you know, who knows what kinds of tricks they'll pull.
But the Homeland, Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security was nice enough to provide us with some Homeland Security Advisory System.
Yeah, we're not going to make it out the door tonight. All right, fine. Any other updates? Mike, did you have an update? Yeah, I changed your mind. Okay. Anyone else have any updates they want to give us? Any calls for help, please, or anything like that? No? Porchop, go ahead.
Volunteers in general. If you show up tomorrow, Thursday, that is, at, I believe, 11, 12, mm-hmm. Maybe even a little before then. You can help us load up, load out. We're unloading from the trucks. We've got a lot of AV stuff coming tomorrow. We've got all the chairs and the tables and the this and the that and the that and this coming. So we do need help, and if you'd like to help out, registration's not required yet. Won't be checking badges until Friday. So you don't need to worry about registering in advance, but if you want to help out, please, by all means, come on down.
Jim.
Yeah, having been heavily involved in Beyond Hope and Lesser and the others, I'd like to point out that you don't have to be big and strapping to help. Anybody is welcome, and anybody can be useful.
Okay, Mike, you have something this time.
Yes, okay. I do this time. You should come and volunteer at our wonderful information table and dispense information to people.
Yeah. That's, now, you're dispensing information, I believe.
Yes.
Okay, do you have any information for us now?
About anything in particular?
I don't know, any changes, any updates, anything that we don't already have on our website, perhaps.
Can I interject something about
yes.
the volunteers? Volunteers also tend to run away on Sunday, and that's also a time when we need them because we have to have the place cleaned up by Monday. So
sometime Monday I think is when we'll actually be finishing that up. Because this time, unlike most conferences, this one's running into the evening on Sunday, and we had to do that because we just had so many people that wanted to speak and present something. And, you know, it's part of the weekend. We want this to last as long as possible. When we first did the Hope Conference in 1994, it didn't start till 12 noon on Saturday and ended pretty, I guess it ended Sunday night. only one track of speakers. Now we're starting on Friday morning, ending Sunday night with three tracks and a whole lot more. So, yeah, we definitely want to make the most of the weekend.
Yeah, so if you can free up some time to hang out on Sunday night and or Monday, definitely please, because, you know, it's usually harder to take something down than it is to put it back up
sometimes. That's true. Plus, a lot of the energy is gone too. At that point, people just want to relax. But you know, it's worth the extra effort just to make sure everything goes well. All right. Again, the site for information, www.h2k2.net, can tell you probably a whole lot more than we're telling you here.
And I got a question. I'm Barry DeKey. I will do the lockpick workshop, as we already mentioned about.
Mm-hmm.
I brought a lot of European locks to open without any damage. But that is the Dutch and the German sport club, because we actually practice lockpicking as a sport, we want to play a little bit with American locks. So if you have any locks laying around without the key, because that's a thing we don't need, then we're very interested in getting them. So if you could bring them along, I'll be there definitely on Sunday, and I'll be walking around there all the other days. But especially the more high security locks like the Madeikos and the more interesting locks. We're all very interested about that, and maybe next time there's something to tell about the American locks.
Cool. 212-209-2900 is our phone number. If you have any questions or comments or requests or anything like that on this 2 days before the H2K2 conference begins here in New York City, is there anything we've left out as far as information to give people? Where it is, when it is, what it's all about?
What does it cost?
I don't think we're supposed to give prices over the air. That's why I've sort of shied away from that. But okay. It's reasonable. It's cheaper than any convention of its size, certainly. And it's as cheap as we can possibly make it. And our goal, basically, when we do these things, is to break even on the admission costs so that we don't take a bath on that. And to provide as much as possible. The speakers volunteer their time. The volunteers, of course, volunteer their time. And it's, it's everyone sort of gets together and makes the best conference they can.
Well, I think it's the cheapest hacker conference I've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I mean, ours was cheaper last time, up by about $10. But, you know, as far as inflation and you know, the changing prices and things like that, I think it's as cheap as it's ever been.
If they go to h2k2.net, then they'll probably be able to find the prices if they need it.
Yeah, most definitely. Oh, and for those people who pledged to WBAI and pledged for tickets to the conference, we have everybody's names. Now, I heard a couple of people did not get their notification in the mail. I'm not quite sure why that happened, but we do have everybody's names. So if there is any kind of a problem, just come to the registration desk and we will work that out. So there's nothing to worry about. There's no need to panic. Those people who pre-registered through our online store, you simply have to bring the little sheet of paper that you got in the mail from us. And if you have lost that piece of paper, you must contact us right away and let us know that. And bring ID, bring the credit card you use so that we know it's you.
So now we're checking ID.
We have to. Yeah. Well, yeah, just to make sure, because you know somebody could pre-register and then just say, "Oh, I'm this person," you know, and you don't want that to happen. But that's the only reason, just to make sure that we have the people who pre-registered, and of course you can register at the door if you have not pre-registered. There should be enough room for everybody.
Can we take credit cards at the door?
No, we're not using credit cards at the door. So that's an important fact. No credit cards, no checks either.
Mike is full of information.
Yeah.
We should point out that, if you want to volunteer your services for InfoDesk, what's important is that you're local, because a lot of the information that the InfoDesk will disperse is local information about New York City. So if you're local and you want to help out, that might be a great place for you to do it. Regarding registration,
Subway maps.
Subway maps.
Yeah. Yes. This is good. This is good. Tell us this little story.
Well, I heard from someone, I don't quite remember who, but we could get subway maps for free to give out to people if they were visiting. And Jim, was it you we learned that from?
Yeah, like who else would know about subway maps around here?
I don't know, there could be a bunch of us. Anyhow, so I faked some 2600 letterhead,
mm-hmm.
and I sent off a fax and said, hey, can we have...
what do you mean you faked some 2600 letterhead? that just sailed right by me just now. I guess we don't have letterhead. Is
no,
that
you
the
don't
reason?
Have
okay,
letterhead.
Okay, well, that's the reason.
So I invented something.
You invented something. That's a
anyway.
Better
word. I sent it off to the faxed it off to the MTA, and after it bouncing around a little bit, I got a call back. We will be receiving 12 boxes. That is 4,600 subway maps.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, but you know
that may be more than people who show up. So
it may be, yeah. But for those that we don't have enough, or if we have more maps than we give out, I'm sure the public would just love us to drop it in the subway system where they'll do some good, probably.
You know, 4,600 isn't divisible by 12.
Wow. All right, well, we'll figure that out tomorrow when they show
yeah,
up.
I guess
you
we
know.
Will.
We'll have to figure out just how they did that.
And they might have a half a box. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, okay, so we'll be encouraging people to take those subway maps when they come in.
Yeah, well, we'll give every single person who enters the door a subway
yeah,
map.
Yeah, please don't say no, because we are going to insist.
And if you don't want it, just don't trash it. Hand it back, hand it to somebody else, save it until you leave, and then hand it to a random passerby.
They're great to hang on your wall, to prove to people that you actually did go to New York. Yeah,
they're not that shabby. I got one in my back pocket.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you can put them there, too.
Yeah,
I have one in my bathroom back in San Diego.
There you go. All right, shall we take some phone calls? 212-209-2900. Bernie, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, Rhody, yeah, he's still on the road. Okay, great. Let's take a phone call. Good evening, you're on the air. Oh, how about that? Our first call is a dial tone. Let's go over here. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, I can't wait for the conference.
How do you do it? How are you always the first call, no matter
I'll be
what?
I'll be mentioning that at the conference.
Uh-huh. You say this again, what?
I said I'll be mentioning that at the conference.
You'll be mentioning why you're the first call all the time at the conference? All right, that's a panel I don't want to miss. I want to learn the tricks.
You're sending me the third track or whatever the track. You send me email, so.
Yeah, but you're not the third track. You are one speaker in the third track. We're not giving an entire track to you this year.
All right. I have a question for Bernie S.
Okay, Bernie, are you prepared for a question from Rebel?
I'm prepared.
All right.
Okay, I have Sprint PCS, and I use it, and my number is a 917 number. Now, when I use it at home in Queens, when I do ANI, like, you know, 1-800 number that tells you what your ANI is, it says my number is 917. And when I call people with caller ID, it shows up as 917.
917 and the rest of your phone number also?
Right.
Okay.
Now, when I go out of state, like to Ohio or Tennessee or something, when I call somebody on my cell phone, Sprint phone, it says my number is 917. But when I do an ANI, 800 ANI, like to check an ANI, the ANI is different. It's the local number of, I guess, the cell site or whatever, the area code, 423 for Tennessee or whatever. How is that possible? Why is that possible? And can you spoof things like if you're pranking somebody or if...
Let me just ask you one question, Rebel, before Bernie tries to answer that. Do you by chance have a dual-mode phone?
You mean analog to digital?
Yes.
I think so. I have a Samsung
okay.
phone.
Okay. I suspect when you get those other numbers, it's in analog mode. That's my theory.
Okay. But then why, when I do the ANI as opposed to the caller ID?
Well, my theory is that when you're getting those numbers, you're actually in analog mode. Like, for instance, I remember doing the same thing you did in an Amtrak train years ago with a cellular phone inside. And the number would show up as a local number that was unusable, that did not really exist.
Right, yeah.
So that's how the analog system works. I don't think the digital system works in the same way. Bernie, do you know any more about this?
Don't know a lot about it, but I would assume that when you're well, not roaming, but Sprint PCS calls it... Sprint PCS has two different terms. They have something called roaming, which is when you're using another company's network, like if you're using analog mode.
Well, it wasn't analog mode when I used it.
It was or was not?
It was not.
Okay.
The same
well, you were doing what Sprint PCS is calling traveling, as
right? Like I'm roaming over Sprint PCS network.
Yeah, but you're not charged for roaming. You're
right.
You're traveling on a different
Sprint PCS
different home
area,
different home system.
Okay, but
and
now
you're not using the same hunt group, obviously, that you would in your home area when you're traveling in another area. But I would imagine somehow their switches are set up to send your when you're in your home area to know that they should pass on your proper number to whatever switch it's going through so that it shows up on people's caller ID boxes. Well, but when you're in another area, are you saying that if you're traveling in another area, you're saying that your number does show up properly on other people's
caller ID boxes. But when I do ANI, like 1-800 number that tells you what your ANI is,
right?
It's a different number. Well, I'm doing it the same way, the same.
Yeah.
You know what?
I guess it switches 800 calls different than it does toll calls.
And that's going to have to be the final word on that subject. So let's move on to another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
More exciting.
Yes, good evening, everyone.
Oh, why is it always same people every week?
Hey, wait a minute.
Okay, come on. Let's make
right,
it fast.
I'd like to know about the 2600 streaming. And
okay.
About, for instance, does it go all around the world and that every human being who has a computer with the real radio and so on can, hello?
This is a good question. This is a good question.
Can hear it simultaneously, or is there a certain load and, you know, like 24 people can be listening and that's the limit? I mean, because I have the impression that WBAI is heard around the world by everyone who wants it simultaneously.
Well, no, it's not quite like that. Basically, the way it works is that you have a finite number of people who can tune in at one particular point because you're talking about bandwidth. So therefore, when shows are particularly popular, for instance, during the Gary Null show at noon, the number of listeners on our streaming go way, way up. And there are people who donate their bandwidth for this radio station. And obviously, when you have a lot of people listening, that's a lot more of a donation than when you have, say, a dozen people listening. So in some way, the most popular programs on the radio station actually wind up costing quite a bit as far as that donation goes. The way we do things here at this particular radio show is a little bit different. We have a bunch of people that stream together their sites so that we can get even more bandwidth than when we have ordinarily. That's kind of a rare thing. But as far as the 24/7 streaming that we have that's donated by some very kind people, that's something that there is a finite limit. Not everybody in the world can listen at one time, but a large number of listeners can and do. It does have a price. It's not like broadcasting over the air. You're using bandwidth. You're using something that that actually costs, and it doesn't cost anything to the radio station, at least not at this point, because people are donating that bandwidth. Hope that answers that question. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Seems as though the format of the programs are changing in the afternoon recently.
Well, I don't know. but
they're really bad.
Okay,
really upset about it. What number should I call to complain?
What you want to do is call the general number during the day, 212-209-2800.
Sorry to bother you.
Okay, well, you didn't bother me, but basically it's just, it's not really on topic to this particular discussion. But anyone having comments or feedback for the radio station in general, 212-209-2800 in daytime hours. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, hi. Correction to your original correction.
Okay.
The Martians landed at Grover's Mill, New Jersey, not Downers Grove.
You're right.
We're all wrong, huh?
You know, well, it's amazing how we're all wrong, but it's also amazing how there's always somebody who knows, you know? Okay, well.
Just thought I'd straighten that out.
Thanks for doing
it. Year?
Have a good one.
All right.
1939. Thank you very much.
Was it 1939?
39.
All right. I don't want to bring any more facts that are going to be disputed.
38.
Yeah.
You see, that's what's going to happen.
You're right.
Good evening. You're on the air. Speak
Hello?
Up, please. Yes, go ahead.
Hey, hi. I've been asked by my manager to deliver a message to a Mr. Eric Crowley or Crowley.
Okay. We'll see if there's one here. What's the message?
The message is as follows. I'm with NRO,
uh-huh.
And we're going to have at least four people there. Unfortunately, I can't come because I'm over 30, but they're all going to have long hair, and they're bringing cash.
Uh-huh.
We know that ASA is sending two people. DIA is sending at least one.
Okay.
And we know that CIA, FBI, and NSA are each sending at least one person. And we've been to your last three conferences, and we really enjoy them.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to having you.
And by the way, this is not a joke.
Oh, well, I didn't think it was.
Nope. NRO has learned a lot of stuff from you guys.
Uh-huh.
So I assume you know what NRO is. So I can write down to my manager that I did make this call and got on the air. So thank you so much.
Okay.
Before you go, two things. We bring new imagery.
He's gone.
Oh, damn. Going to ask if he would bring new imagery, which was yelled from the peanut gallery. And we're going to ask also if they'd be willing to play Spot the Fed. And I understand
that's not us. We don't
do
that.
We don't?
No, we don't do
not
that.
Not anymore.
We never
that's
did that.
That's a different convention.
You're mixed up.
We should do it.
we should do something unique, something that, that only we do.
Well,
you know?
We should do a variation
like
of that.
The social engineering
better.
Panel is
how about
is something
how about
that came
punch
out of,
the Fed?
I don't think that's inappropriate either.
That's not a very good idea at all.
Prop, what's,
these NRO people have been doing some amazing stuff over the past years. I've heard there's new distribution systems for their imagery. They're doing obliques into the atmosphere where they can see faces and stuff. Be really, really, really interesting if they did a workshop on that or elaborated on these topics a little bit.
And that's why we've left space open for these last-minute workshops that might come up, because they might be the most interesting things at the conference. So, yeah, yes, by all means, you're welcome to do that.
Unfortunately, these institutions are generally not interested in sharing information with the people they're allegedly protecting. So,
but you know,
there's always an exception.
There's
always that rogue person inside that will spill the beans.
See, hotels always leave one room empty in case the president shows up.
You're
so
kidding.
You keep
like
one
Motel 6, like in Pennsylvania somewhere, is going to leave a room open in case Bush decides to drop by.
East Podunk, Nebraska, whatever. So one panel left open for the CIA, NSA, KGB too, if they go by those initials.
Mm-hmm. FSB.
Yeah, they've changed their initials now.
Thank you.
Wow. All right, let's take another phone call, 212-209-2900. Good evening. Whoops. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Andy. Sorry I missed you. Normally I'd mail you an invitation, but due to the mail situation, we decided it'd be better to call. The reason I'm calling is to personally invite you to a free hands-on demonstration.
I've gotten this call.
New product launch ever. We're going to be
isn't this the most annoying thing ever? But watch this.
No,
that doesn't work. That's because probably somebody's calling us with it. But that's annoying. That's those little spam calls that you get, you know, at home sometimes. You know, it sounds like somebody real is trying to reach you. And they always have an excuse. They say, oh, I tried to reach you, but you weren't in. And then, you know, one number up, the same thing happens. And they go through an entire exchange in an evening. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak
Hello?
Up, please. Go ahead. Yes.
Hello, Emmanuel.
Yes, go ahead.
I was listening over the internet. And I just recently I was traveling and I was using some payphones.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have some sad news for red boxes everywhere.
Uh-oh.
You know, you talked about a month ago about how AT&T was going to turn off coin long distance.
Yes.
Well, I found that in all the Quest exchanges, Quest being formerly USS and formerly Pacific Northwest Bell out here in Washington State,
yeah,
that they've reprogrammed their switches, and when I dial a number, after I finish dialing, it just goes to a recording and says, your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Interesting.
Yes.
I also heard something today on the news. I didn't get a chance to really watch that Quest is being brought up on criminal charges now because of some corporate crime thing going on. It's unbelievable what's happening out there. But I'm sure there'll be more news about that in the future as well. But thanks for sharing that sad news with us.
All right.
And that's only some of what news we'll be bringing you throughout the weekend as we learn more and more about the phone network and computer systems and that kind of thing. Let's go to another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
You know, you hung up on me so fast, I wanted to share some, you know, thoughts about, for instance, that you were a little incorrect about 25 years ago. This just happened. Hello?
What happened 25 years ago?
Well, you said that somebody hung up on me 25 years ago, and I was complaining about my freedom of speech.
Oh, did I say 25 years? I'm sorry.
Monroe, have you heard of humor?
Let's bring it to the present there. Now, someone hung up on you 5 seconds ago. Let's make that the line. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please. Yes, go ahead. It's you.
About the AT&T long-distance dialing thing,
mm-hmm.
I think if you use 1010-220 or something like that, then you won't get that error.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure, but I think so, because I know you could redbox through that.
Okay. Well, that's good information to know.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Good evening. You're in the air.
Yes. I just want to mention, I'm the one who invited the FBI and all that, because I've been calling everybody, like the phone company and the FBI and CIA and...
You know, maybe they just said that just to get you off the phone. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I have two questions. One is, at the conference, will they be teaching you how to make free phone calls long distance?
Well, you see, that's not really the purpose of the conference, is making free phone calls. However, you will learn about technology, and if you decide to apply that technology towards making free phone calls, that's...
That would be the reason I'd like to go.
Frankly, at 9 cents a minute or whatever, you'd have to make a lot of free phone calls to...
Where do you need to call to?
Oh, I like to call, you know, California.
Yeah, well, California, you can probably call pretty cheaply these days. Yeah,
to do it for free.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, I understand. I totally understand. And if you want to learn the theory behind both the old ways of doing it and the new ways of doing it, yes, you'll learn something about that. But you're not going to be able to buy a magical device that will do that for you. That's not the purpose of the convention. The convention is to teach you, you know, how systems work.
Now, I have that little box that goes beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, that's the red box.
Can I make that work anymore?
Well, yeah. As we said, you know, there are some that some areas where that no longer works at all, but there are still a few areas where you can simply make those beeps into a payphone and it'll think you put in a quarter.
But
it's that simple.
Not in New York City, though.
It doesn't matter where. That was a nationwide standard, so it's possible.
How can I stop my email spam?
Well, you just have all kinds of questions. How you stop email spam? Well, I don't really know. I'd like to know.
Get a new account.
Get a new account is probably one way. Stop reading. Yes, go ahead, Mike.
Spam assassin.
Spam assassin. Where do you get spam assassin?
Google. Off the internet. Google.
Okay, just look in Google for spam assassin and install that. There are technical solutions to this, and you might have to do some research and, again, learn how things work. But it's probably a lot more effective than simply making it illegal, which some people want to do. All right, let's go to another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to answer back to you, Emmanuel, that there is a difference between the ANI and the caller ID, and this is something that people confuse. For instance, do you have any pets?
Do I have any pets?
Do you have any pets?
I have a couple of pets, yes.
Okay, do you have a dog?
No, not at the moment.
Okay, dogs do not send ANI. Dogs only send caller ID.
Okay.
If you were to get a phone call from a dog,
uh-huh.
and it said the name of the dog, let's say your dog's name is Rover,
uh-huh.
and it said Rover on the box, that would be caller ID, not ANI. Thank you.
All right, this is the kind of bits of knowledge that you'll no doubt pick up.
We actually have a panel on that, don't we? On caller ID.
We have a panel on caller ID. In fact, that's on Friday. We'll be talking about how to actually fake that information, the information you get on your caller ID box. Yes, it can be spoofed. See if we can fit in one more. Good evening. You're on the air. Must be calling from a Sprint phone. Yeah, most definitely. All right, let's take another one. Good evening. You're on the air.
I'm Hale.
How you doing? You're calling from inside the room, aren't you?
Yep.
All right, let's make it quick.
Bring old computers to the retro computing.
That's Mr. Room. Actually, Mr. Ohm, hang up the phone. Come to the microphone. I'm really silly here. All right. You're running the retro computing panel.
Yep.
And when's that again?
That's Friday at 12.
Friday at 12.
It's one of the earliest panels. Yeah. It's going to be very fun.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about antique cell phone hacking and homebrew computers and things like that. And there's going to be a large amount of old computers this time.
Yeah, it's going to be occurring throughout the whole conference, though, in the network area.
Room.
So while the panel is at noon, the retro computing will be happening all the time. If you have an old computer, an old working computer, because we don't want a pile of junk. We want things to actually turn on and do things. Bring it by. We'll plug it in. We'll make it do all kinds of interesting things. Or you'll make it do all kinds of interesting things, and it'll be a lot of fun for all. Okay,
we should mention also that next to the retro computing area. There will be a retro electronics area. There will be all sorts of antique electronics from the 60s and 70s for people to play with, video games, and really they'll have an original Cartravision system for people who remember the first VCR that was available in 1971.
Maybe an 8-track deck or something. Mm. Yeah. That'll be fun. So if you have old equipment of any sort, bring it by. If you have new equipment, bring it by as well. We want to hear all kinds of interesting things there. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you at the conference. Again, Hotel Pennsylvania starting Friday. Registration starts Thursday. And we'll be back again next week to tell you how it all went. www.h2k2.net. We'll see you next week. I get no doubt.